All right, and we are back in action after the break. Welcome back, everyone. How you doing, Riley?
We good, you know? Great. Just nice Christmas break, nice break from school, second semester starting up.
That's nice, man. That's
you?
Nice. Yeah, I got the flu over break, so I was pretty sick. Not gonna lie, it was all right. Rather be sick at home than miss a bunch of class, right? So
yeah, that's true.
It was all right, but missed out on Christmas dinner, and that was a big bummer.
So you were too sick to eat Christmas dinner, huh?
Yeah, man. I was in bed by like 4 o'clock on Christmas.
That's pretty bad. Okay.
Here's what it is. We'll get it next year. Mm-hmm. A lot of basketball happened over the break, though.
Yeah. Particularly James Harden exploding for the month of December.
Yep.
Back in MVP form.
A lot of 30-point games, man. A lot of 30-point games.
I would definitely say he put himself back in the MVP race, for sure. He's number one, number two at this point.
Yeah.
Before this big outbreak, I didn't even have him as a starter in the All-Star game. Personally, just because the Rockets were underperforming.
Yeah, we talked about it, right? I mean, they were sitting when we started this. They were
14th in the West at that time. Now they're what, third?
Yeah. So,
fifth, but 2 games behind third, so.
I mean, the West is so tight.
Yeah, it's
everyone,
close.
You steal a game, you lose a game, and you're fluctuating all the way up there. It's a tight division. But no, I agree, man. He is playing out of his mind. He's 1 point behind, or he's 1 game behind Kobe for most 30-point games in a row.
Something like that.
He's at 15 right now.
Yeah, but he had the, he did already break Kobe's record for most points over the course of like a 10-game span. It was like 400 something. He was averaging over 40 a game for a 10-game span.
Yeah, man. He's playing crazy.
Yeah.
He's playing. You know what? The thing is, to me, I am very, like, this is a very controversial thing to say, and a lot of people won't agree with me, but I did not think that James Harden deserved the MVP last year. I didn't think
I 100% thought he deserved it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people do, but you know what?
I mean, like, you could, like, make an argument for LeBron last year and anyone else, but I just didn't see it simply because, like, I couldn't handle those takes because James Harden has been robbed so many times, like, literally at least twice.
Yeah.
2015 from Steph Curry, you know,
I know, man.
So. I think Harden should have won it that year. And then Russell Westbrook's MVP year with the triple-double. Yeah,
you can't take it away from him.
I think Harden should have won that, no question.
Really?
Yeah.
No. You can't average a triple-double. And then he averaged another one last year, so.
But that's that just now no one cares because he's done it so much. It's just, yeah. I don't know. Russell Westbrook has been playing well this year. Outside of his shooting stats and his efficiency, he's taken a step back, kind of let Paul George, you know.
Yeah, man. It is really those two big mans playing in OKC. Whose team is it now? Paul George seems like the better player to me.
Oh, yeah. Paul George is a better player, but this is Russell's team.
Yeah.
But I think Russell Westbrook has really taken a step back this year and kind of like he's getting closer to being the point guard that you need him to be. He needs to be more of – he's so athletic that, like, he just needs to kind of play more like Rajon Rondo, but more scoring than Rondo ever did. Because Rondo didn't have a shot. Russell Westbrook doesn't have a shot.
I'm trying to think who is, like, a slasher point guard who is a pretty good playmaker. maybe Jason Kidd. I modeled the game after that, but he wasn't uber athletic.
Oh, yeah. Jason Kidd would be... If Russell Westbrook played like Jason Kidd, it's...
You know what they say? They say Russell Westbrook is having the career that Derrick Rose should have had. Because both were crazy athletic, yeah. Slashing point guards.
I think Derrick Rose was better. Yeah. But it's close. Russell Westbrook was more explosive and a little bit... He was bigger than Derrick Rose and everything, but Derrick Rose was just...
Well, man, that's kind of more aware. If you look at that 2011 season, every time he took it to the hoop, he was finding some way to get in there. He was crazy, crazy fast.
He was definitely a better finisher.
He had,
definitely
like, one of the best first steps ever.
No question.
He was crazy.
And his finishing, like, Russell Westbrook can finish at the rim, but he didn't have, like, Derrick Rose had, like, Kyrie Irving-esque finishes around the rim. Like, Russell Westbrook doesn't have that.
Circus shots everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Russell Westbrook is when he is going to the net, it's hard to... you don't want to be under him, right? Because he might not have the crafty finish that...
But he'll throw
Kyrie
it down
does.
Over you.
Yeah, he'll throw it down like a hammer. But back to Harden. Last year, yeah, I didn't think it was his year to get the MVP. And you look back, and over the course of the season, I mean, LeBron played more games. LeBron had more points to finish. Harden averaged more, but over the course of the season, I think LeBron put up more.
Yeah, it was... But LeBron played 82 games, led the league in minutes and minutes per game. It was a good season, but still.
Yeah. But to me, I mean, who's more valuable to their team, James Harden or LeBron James?
Obviously, LeBron James is more valuable than anyone, but it's the MVP. It's not – it doesn't really mean most valuable. It means best narrative. Like, it's everything. It's a combination of
–
which is the only reason Russell Westbrook won it was because of, the triple-double and – the Kevin Durant leaving and everything.
I'm just sad, man, because I really wanted... I wanted LeBron to get another MVP this year, and now it's
not happening now. I thought he could have...
It's Harden, it's Giannis, it's...
If LeBron was playing every... He's going to be out too long. He's going to lose his, like any...
Eligibility to be an MVP.
There's no official eligibility, obviously, but you can't just... Like, if you miss, like, 15, 20 games, you're not going to win the MVP.
Yeah, well, it's like when Joel Embiid was in the running for Rookie of the Year.
I mean, he only played 30 games that year, though.
Yeah, but, like, he had it on lock. He probably still was the best rookie in that draft.
Yeah.
Who won? Michael Brogdon? Like, wow.
Malcolm Brogdon, yeah.
What'd he average? Like, 9 points?
Wait, no, Malcolm Brogdon didn't win it that year. Was it?
I think it was, because I think it was the 2015, 20...
It was 2016-17, so yeah, it was Brogdon.
Yeah, it was Brogdon, because I was pretty sure, yeah. Man, but yeah, the award race is crazy. I think Harden has MVP on lock again.
I don't think it's on lock. A lot of people still have Giannis winning, just because the Rockets were not good at the gate, and it's just been inconsistent as a team. They've been inconsistent, so you just can't really...
What do you think of the Bucks right now? Like, I think Giannis is great, and he's crazy good, but I think this is Harden's MVP year again.
I don't know. I just think, like, it's going to be really tough. I think it'll come down to, like, the end of the season between them, and I don't know who else will be at their name in there. No one else is going to be coming close. It's going to be them, too. It's going to be a two-man race.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like...
Paul George is in the conversation this year,
yeah,
too.
But he won't get it. I don't have him up there. It's too weird. Like, he just isn't that guy that... Just because it's not, like, his team, he isn't the guy, like, facilitating everything. He's not... It's... the team, like, the offense doesn't run through him specifically.
Yeah, it's like you're saying. I mean, it's still Russell Westbrook's team.
Oh, yeah, right? It's Russell Westbrook's team, yeah. But it's definitely coming down. He's going to be in there for Defensive Player of the Year. It's going to be out of him. Him, Embiid, and probably maybe Giannis. Going to be up there.
And yeah. I mean, Kawhi's in the conversation for MVP again.
Yeah.
That's good to see. I mean, there was a lot of doubts about him coming in this season, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know if he's going to be back, and after such a weird season in San Antonio and only playing 9 games, to get back to this level where he's averaging 27 points and he's contributing to the number one team in the league, and that's got to feel good for him.
Yeah. But the only thing is that you can look at is that, like, the Raptors without him are still, like, a good team.
Yeah.
Without Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors are still a, like, no lower than 6th seed in the East.
Yeah, but 6th seed in the East is not, like, to me,
they're still, least, I think without Kawhi Leonard, the Raptors still could win 47 games.
Yeah, okay.
They come close to 50 games.
Okay. But, like, the thing is, when you have Kawhi Leonard, you're an elite team. Putting that elite player
on.
Of course,
yeah.
Like, they're above average without him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, and Raptors were looking to add some depth to that team over the break. It looked like Bradley Beal was in conversation
to the Raptors. I just don't see that happening. They have the assets to give up to get Bradley Beal, but the assets that they would give up, they will be giving up something on their team, like someone that adds value to their team, rather than giving up maybe a few players that they don't necessarily need.
Right. And obviously they were in some talks, and the Wizards did request that they get Siakam, OG Anunoby.
A first rounder and a second rounder.
I would never. If that trade went through, I would be...
You take Siakam out of that, and you could make a case. If you take Siakam out of that, I could give up OG Anunoby to get Bradley Beal.
I don't love Bradley Beal. I've never been a big Bradley Beal guy.
Raptors need more shooting like that, though. They don't have enough. They don't have consistent shooters like that.
Fifth worst shooting in the league or something like that.
Probably. They're not shooting that well.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've never been a big Bradley Beal fan. I don't know how much I would like to have another. Obviously, it's always great to add a superstar, but I don't know how much I want the league to look at the Raptors as every time a superstar goes on the market, they're going to trade for him. It doesn't look that great to the players and the organization. After a DeMar DeRozan trade, everyone was very upset.
Yeah. I mean,
Kyle Lowry's still very upset with
Masai Ujiri.
Right? So,
and that could be an issue moving forward. But
you don't want to drain the youth, because let's say Kawhi does leave this summer. He takes off, goes to wherever.
You want to rebuild. You don't want to have Bradley Beal's contract on the books for the next 4 years.
Well, even without Kawhi, the rebuild started. The Raptors somehow silently did a rebuild in their best tenure in history. They got guys. They were drafting guys.
Masai has drafted really well. He's done a great job with this team.
Yeah.
There's no question.
And now that team, if Kawhi left, could hold their own. And that's very impressive. You don't want to get rid of a bunch of young guys for Bradley Beal. And Bradley Beal's never going to carry a team on his own. I mean, him and John Wall could never.
I mean, him and John Wall, it's like he hasn't gotten the chance to thrive with. I think if he was him on the Raptors, would be a really good. Him, if you have Kyle Lowry, Bradley Beal, and Kawhi Leonard as your three-headed monster right there, that's.
It's not bad, I guess. Yeah.
That could take down the Warriors right now. If you don't give up too much. If you give up, like, if you put Bradley Beal on this team right now and we give up OG Anunoby and picks, that team can compete with the Warriors right now.
And honestly, I don't think the Warriors are going to make the NBA Finals. I think Houston is
going to I don't know, man. After Houston couldn't even beat them last year, up 3-2, even though Chris Paul was out, but Chris Paul is not going to be playing well this year. It was a mistake. Him taking that big contract was a mistake.
You think him and...
Their chance was last year. It's closed. I could see if Chris Paul comes back healthy and... they can do something, and James Harden keeps us up, but Harden has been disappearing in the playoffs, and I'm a big James Harden fan, but he just...
See, that's my thing. I'm not a big Houston fan. I'm not a big Harden fan.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with what he does, but a lot of the time, I look for an excuse to why it's not that great, but this season, he's really impressing me, and Golden State is not. there's cracks in the foundation.
Of course, but
their
depth
is terrible this year.
I just don't see. Well, they did. They gave up a lot of depth to be able to sign DeMarcus Cousins. Like, they don't have a center. Like, really. Like, who they have? They have Jordan Bell. That's it.
And he's naturally a power forward.
Yeah. He's only, what, 6'10"?
Is he? I thought he was 6'9 for some reason.
Yeah, 6'9", 6'10". He's not. Let me see. But, yeah, he's.
I like Jordan Bell, though. I do like Jordan Bell. When he was at Oregon, I thought he was a really good prospect. I was hoping that. I was surprised when Chicago traded him. I was I mean, him and LaVine. Oh, speaking of Chicago, that's another weird thing going on in the league. Jabari Parker.
Oh, he's a mess. He said that defense doesn't matter. That was hilarious when I heard that he said defense doesn't. We don't get paid to play defense because guys are gonna score anyway. Very stupid, but.
Yeah, well, he's not playing in Chicago anymore. He's out of the rotation completely. A lot of players are finding themselves weird break, man. Honestly, every news I heard from the NBA was just bizarre. Jabari Parker, the hometown kid, big signing, Chicago, out of the rotation, looks like they're going to trade him, still is just sitting somewhere and not playing. And I was surprised he got such a big contract. I mean, he's torn both his ACLs. He's been a walking Band-Aid for a few years now, so... You hate to see it, a young prospect like that, but I think his career is pretty much as good as gone. I think he's going to be a journeyman now and bounce around as a role player.
Yeah, I don't know, he's immature. That 2014 draft outside of, like, I mean, the top picks in that draft looks so disappointing. Like, it was supposed to be one of those, like, they were calling that a legendary draft, like, produce multiple Hall of Famers. Like, the best player of that draft is Joel Embiid, and it's no question. But outside of him, you have Jokic, who's drafted late in the first round.
I mean, Jokic is pretty good.
Yeah, but the players who were supposed to be good, like Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker, just aren't good.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins is, like, I wouldn't call him a bust completely, but he definitely didn't live up to the hype. Didn't live up to expectations.
He was supposed to be the next Kobe, man.
Yeah, but he didn't, he's not, no. Nah.
I know, this season especially, last year I really defended him. I really was like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
He's still young. He's developing. But I think bringing in Butler hurt him. And I think now, I don't think he's going to be great. Like, I do. I really, really, really think that he is a bust now.
I would say that.
Yeah. A lot of guys in here are awful. Wow.
You know they call Andrew Wiggins Maple Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
That's sad. Come on, man. He has not earned that at all.
They had called him that in high school. I don't think anyone's calling him that now.
Yeah, they do. They still call him that. The Timberwolves, and they tweet about him, they say Maple Jordan and stuff like that.
Really, man?
When he scored 40-something the other night, what, he scored 45 or something the other night? Maple Jordan put 45. I'm like, no. What is he averaging this year? He's averaging... 17.9 points, like 18 points a game on 40% from the field and 34% from three.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a mess. He's not a great free throw shooter either. He shoots 74% from the free throw line. He's not efficient by any means.
Did you see him over the break? So such a weird NBA time. That was... Watching that, I couldn't wait to get back in here and talk about it all because it was so bizarre. So bizarre. He's getting booed at the free throw line by Timberwolves fans, man.
What, Wiggins?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon to boo
your own
players.
No, I know,
but yeah.
Like, he misses he forgets his jersey. He just, to me, he looks like he doesn't care. He looks content with being a mediocre player. He's got a huge contract.
For sure. I think it all got to his head because since he was 14 years old, 13 years old, like grade 8, he was being told, oh, he's the best player in his age group in the world. He was told that all through high school. You're the best player. You're this, you're that. He was the number one player in his class, and then he gets reclassified and immediately gets put over Jabari Parker, who was number one. And I don't know. I lost all stock in Andrew Wiggins when... He was at Kansas, and everything went around that, like, once Joel Embiid emerged as, like, this is Kansas' best player, once I realized, like, he wasn't even the best, he couldn't even stay to be the best player on his team in college, like, I don't know, I just saw he just didn't have it in him.
Yeah, I don't think he works hard.
Yeah, definitely not.
Man, and I do think Jimmy Butler hurt him a lot that last season.
Oh, of course,
Speaking of Jimmy Butler, I mean,
It's probably just,
I said,
but Jimmy Butler, he didn't like Wiggins and Towns because they didn't work hard. He felt they didn't work hard.
You know what? I don't know how much there is to believe about that. I don't think that they are the two most dedicated players, because I hear stories about
Cat playing Fortnite all night. And
yeah, and I hear about, you know, Giannis staying in the gym. I hear about, when you hear about the greats, it's always the next thing you hear about them is
their work ethic.
Yeah, they lost a game and then they stayed in the gym till 4 a.m. and put up 4,000 shots. And it's like, wow, okay, this is crazy.
You know? The only all-time great you don't hear about that with really is Allen Iverson. You're the complete opposite. Yeah, he didn't work. He even has admitted that he didn't even put in work. Like, he didn't work on moves in practice. Like, he wouldn't go in and say, okay, I'm going to do this in the game. Like, I'm going to work on these moves. He would just picture it in his head before going to the game and then just pull it off in game. He wouldn't practice it beforehand. He didn't have a huge work ethic. I don't know how, but at friggin' 5'11", I don't know, man. But yeah, what about the current situation with the Lakers and LeBron being out till potentially well into February?
You know what? We'll jump to that. I'm not off the Jimmy Butler topic yet, man. I hate Jimmy Butler. Hate him.
You don't like him? I don't like him. I thought the Sixers made a bad move by trading for him.
I used to love you, Jimmy Butler, if you're listening to this. Yeah, he probably is. My opinion matters the most to him out of anyone's, I'm pretty sure. But you know what? The guy went to JUCO because he didn't get any D1 offers. And then he got a Marquette offer. And then he played Marquette. And he played his butt off. Worked so hard in and out.
He was a second-round pick.
He was homeless.
Yeah, he was homeless. He got picked up by, like, not even family and friends, just people that, like,
He got picked up by a freshman. It was a freshman on his basketball team when he was in junior year, and he lived with them for 2 years.
Went to college.
And he worked so hard, and he gets to the NBA, and he had an awful, awful, awful rookie season, averaged 2 points, but it was to be expected because he was a late second rounder.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was a second-round pick.
And he doesn't stop working, and I get it. I get it.
He's a 30th pick, last pick in the first round.
When you work that hard, you have the right to expect that the people above you, who are privileged within the sense of basketball,
they
have God-given talent, and they have all the things they need to make them great. You have the right to be like, you know what, work hard.
Like, he admitted that the best player on the Wolves was Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
The player with the most talent was Andrew Wiggins. And he said, but he just felt that, like, he wanted to see them do well. But I just feel like he is kind of a locker room cancer. And, yeah, you can have high expectations, but at the same time, he should still be, like,
yep.
And he still has to.
And I've seen him. He wants to be the guy, I think. I think he really does want to be the guy. That's why he wants to go to L.A. Clippers so bad, or Brooklyn, or New York. He wants to go to a bad team where no one is. You know what? I'm going to remind everybody. He was the guy on Chicago when Derrick Rose left. It was his team. They handed over the Kings. They handed over the keys. They said,
and then they ended up trading him. But
they brought in some pieces that worked around him. They said, we're going to get you a passing point guard in Rondo. The plays are going to be yours. You're going to be the ball dominant player. And we're going to bring in Dwayne Wade too. So we have a veteran presence. But this team is yours. Do what you will with it. And that was still, you know, Dwayne Wade wasn't Dwayne Wade, the prime peak player.
This is Dwayne Wade, like, the end of his career, just going to Chicago because it's home.
Yeah, but it was still a good piece in my mind because he hadn't started his drastic decline yet. I mean,
He was in decline then.
He was in his decline, but you know what
I mean? He wasn't right now. He could still start on the team, yeah. That year, he was still a starter.
He's still, and even now, you know, Dwayne Wade is still playing well. I mean, he has some big games, but that's how it goes. But they had some good pieces in Chicago, and Jimmy Butler couldn't run the team, and then he has problems with Rondo. And Jimmy Butler saying, you know, it's Rondo's fault, this, that. And it's like, okay, I get it. Rondo has been known... Actually, Rondo's never been known to be a teammate problem.
Yes, he has. He's in Dallas, him and Rip Carlisle did not get along. He's been kind of a cancer to teams, and he wasn't bad in Boston because like they kind of
those guys say Rondo's the best teammate ever. I know he wasn't a problem in New Orleans. He wasn't a problem.
He was a problem in Dallas. That was big. They ended up shutting him down for the season, like before the playoff season started. He didn't play in the playoffs that year. Or he played one playoff game and then shut him down for the rest. With a phantom injury, you know, like those injuries. He's out for the season, but he's really just with the team. That's about it.
Well, anyways, you know what? You start a problem with that guy, and everyone's looking at it like, okay, you know what? Rondo has that personality where they think, I can see how these two players don't get along that well. But then... So they trade Butler because they're like, okay, we're going to do a rebuild. Things didn't work. He only led us to 8th seed first round exit when we were up on Boston and they couldn't seal the deal. That, to me, is one of the defining moments of Jimmy Butler's career. Had the team, could have led it, didn't lead it. And then you see him in the Timberwolves. With the Timberwolves, he's not doing great, right? Has a problem with Carl Anthony Towns. Has a problem with Jimmy Butler, all those guys. Again, you're like, okay, maybe those guys are underperforming. We haven't been impressed with them yet. Why would Jimmy Butler? And now you're on Philadelphia, and that is a team that has guys who work hard. I mean, Ben Simmons works hard. Joel Embiid works hard. Come in every night, do their best. And then Jimmy Butler goes, these guys are soft. It's ridiculous at this point. I want to see him get sent to Phoenix or somewhere that he just has no potential and he can just be their best player and he can be happy, because I don't think team success is as big a deal as he makes it out to be to him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I just think that there have been issues with, like, just within the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've had issues even since then, right? They're still not doing well. They just fired their coach and general manager. And their team is just a mess. I think this rebuild did not go as planned. The first thing they did wrong was trying to get Jimmy Butler. Because they saw Karl Anthony Towns playing so well right out of the gate that they felt, you know, we should try and win now. It was not the time to win now. You should just let Karl Anthony Towns come into his own. Think about if they still had Zach LaVine. Even him, they could have pitched him as trade bait for someone else, not Jimmy Butler.
Zach LaVine wasn't in the trade though for Jimmy Butler. He went to Chicago.
It was Jimmy Butler for
Saric, Markkanen.
No. I'm talking about the first trade with Minnesota.
No. That's
what it was. Markkanen was the draft pick that turned into.
Yeah.
Right, with Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. And then Minnesota got Jimmy Butler and I don't even know, and Taj Gibson or something, or I don't know if they signed him after, but I just remember they traded away Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and eventually Lauri Markkanen.
Right.
So.
And then they traded away.
And then they traded Jimmy Butler for Saric and Covington.
Right.
So, what they needed was a point guard outside of Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn's okay, but injury issues, whatever. They could have traded Zach LaVine even for a point guard. Right? Think about this. Just imagine your front court of Karl Anthony Towns and Lauri Markkanen. Just pretend that is their front court. That's in 3 years, that is the best front court in the league, and it's not even close. You have two bigs.
I agree. It would be
3 years from now.
Lauri Markkanen, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, two Chris Dunns. Anyone who's saying, you know, Chris Dunn isn't a real point guard or isn't a good point guard, I mean, in that scenario,
yeah, he's but I think be the fifth option. I think no at that point, what you do is you go and you get. Imagine they could have flipped, done something, and tried to, I don't know, get. You put Lonzo Ball on that team, Imagine, like, they traded, like, Zach LaVine. They flipped something, made some sort of move to get Lonzo Ball onto that team. Or any point guard that is, like a good defensive pass
first player. Lonzo's a bust to me now.
No. He's going to make first team all defensive this year.
Oh, wow. I don't care. Lonzo's a bust.
He's making an all defensive team this year.
He's averaging every stat he has lesser than last year. He's still 30 in field goal percentage and 30 in 3-point percentage. You know what, man? He had such high expectations, and a lot of that's his dad's fault, and now...
Okay, yeah, he's not having an amazing year, but he's shooting 40% from the field, 33% from the field goal, but his effective field goal percentage is 48%, which is better than Andrew Wiggins.
Okay.
Better than a lot of dudes.
Again, Andrew Wiggins, that's another bust to me. You know what,
Lonzo is not a bust, because when he came into the league, you know, he's averaging... Obviously, his points are not that good, but...
I know, but I always defended him. I always defended him because I was like, he's a tall point guard. His rebounds are the only thing that really impressed me anymore.
His defense.
Okay, his defense as well, but that's the thing. To me, it's like, okay, but when I think of point guard, I need to see some three-point shooting for him, especially because that was his thing.
It's fallen off a little bit, but it's not... terrible. Like 33%, it's bad, but it's not like you can deal with it. You can handle 33% from three, especially from a guy that still, like, his shooting has come back and he's a little streaky, and it's just about him getting comfortable playing next to LeBron.
He's the worst 3-point shooter in their starting five.
No, he's a better 3-point shooter than Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is the guy you have to worry about on that team. He is not good. He needs to go some. They need to trade him. He's who they need to trade.
Other than JaVale McGee, I honestly think that Lonzo is the worst 3-point shooter. Okay, yeah.
I mean,
you're right. Ingram only has 30% from 30%.
He's shooting 30%. Probably shooting maybe a little bit more threes, but I just think that he's not a great shooter. He still can't even shoot. Neither of them can shoot free throws to save their lives. But
you know what? I was all for Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. I wanted them to be so good. And now I just want them to get packed up and sent to New Orleans for AD.
Yeah, of course. The one player you keep, you try to keep Josh Hart
and Kuzma.
If you have to give up Josh Hart, you give up Josh Hart. You don't give up Kuzma. Because that would be perfect.
I mean,
LeBron, Kyle Kuzma, and Anthony Davis.
I mean, the big thing at the start of the season was Magic Johnson saying every player is tradable except Ingram. They have high expectations for him.
I just don't like him. He's immature. He just doesn't have that in him. You know what I mean? That dog in him.
I don't know, man. I was a big Ingram fan because I'm a Duke fan. So I watched him. I watched him when he was at Duke, and I loved him. I thought I was really sad when he didn't perform to the level he was supposed to. I thought he was going to be Rookie of the Year in 2016 or 2017, whenever it was. So it's upsetting to see. But that Lakers team now, man, you think they're making the playoffs? LeBron?
Oh no, quite. They're still in the 7 or 8 right now.
I think they're 8th right now. LeBron is out till at least February.
Yeah, they're 8th right now, tied with Utah, still ahead of Sacramento. They're 2 games behind the 7th seed, 2.5 games back from that. But other than that, it's doable. And once LeBron, if they can just stay afloat around 7, 8, 9, if they can stay there, and then LeBron comes back and carries them, catapults them to 4 or 5, like, it's so tight that they can get up. They can get as high as the 3rd seed. If LeBron just came back right now.
Like, yeah, I guess. But I don't know, man. LA's not impressing me this season. And it bums me out. Because I know a lot of people had the expectations that they weren't going to be that great. And that this was going to be their rebuild year. But I thought once LeBron signed, I thought he was going to get another star. And when I saw no other star was going to come, I started to get a little nervous. And now...
He already admitted that this isn't their year. He's not...
Yeah.
But he's obviously not going to be patient. Like, he says he's going to be patient, but that'll never happen. But outside of that, it's
time's ticking, and you can see it now. This is the most serious injury of his career.
goes down on that play in Golden State. They think it's a slight pulled groin.
It is. It was. They thought it was gonna be worse, but honestly,
it is worse. It's not a pulled groin.
They thought it was gonna be worse than what it is, though. Even he said like he'll be back soon.
But it's not a groin issue anymore. It's a it's a hernia in his groin, so it's a serious injury. He's not gonna play the All-Star break for sure. All right, but we can touch on that more.
We'll take a quick
break and we're going to play some music.
All right.
We'll see you in a few minutes. I still see your shadows in my room. Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love it. So I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done. I thought you were the one listening to my heart instead of my head. You found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. You left me falling and landing inside my grave. I know that you want me dead. I take prescriptions to make me feel a-okay. I know it's all in my head. I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing. Thinking of you in my bed. You were my everything. Thoughts of a I'll do it over again. I didn't want it to end. I watch it blow in the wind. I should've listened to my friends. Leave it in the past, but I wanted to last. You were made out of plastic, fake. I was tangled up in your drastic ways. Who knew evil girls had the prettiest face? You gave me a heart that was full of mistakes. All right, man, we're back.
We're back.
Back in business.
So, I would definitely say that the Lakers are still good. I don't care what you say. They are still a good team.
I'm not saying they're bad. It's just I expected more of those young guys to step up. And to be fair, they have a little bit, but... And losing LeBron is, like, the biggest loss you can have in a season.
Yeah. I mean, Kuzma had, what, 41 the other day?
Yeah. So
good game. Big game.
He does impress me. It's just, I think you're right. I just look for Ingram, and I look for
Lonzo Ball.
And those guys are the ones who just haven't impressed me at all.
You know who has been impressive in the short time that he gets to play?
Who?
Zubac.
Yeah, he actually has been.
He's been very good. He's good. He can rebound, defend pretty well. Like, he does a little bit of everything, and he should develop into a nice player. Like, he's still young.
Yeah, and they need depth at that center position, right? Because right now it's between JaVale and
like, he's only 21.
Yeah, and it's between JaVale and what's his name, Tyson Chandler, right? And those guys, as good as they are, they're still older guys, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think it'll be nice for LA to have him in their back pocket, and I think we'll start to see him get used more and more next season.
Outside of the Lakers, who has been... Oh, yeah. Just the potential, just something I want to say a little earlier. Just about the Raptors, the potential. Just, they have... They're a deep team, very deep, but they still have a few little issues they could fix up, especially in their front court. I would say Ibaka provides good spacing, can defend in space, protect the rim. Not the best rebounder, and when he's guarding, playing center a lot, like, offensively, him at center is just beautiful. The spacing is wonderful.
Yeah.
But defensively, he's only 6'9".
Yeah.
And if they play against the Warriors, like, in the finals, you know, DeMarcus Cousins will bully him all day.
I won't be sold on the DeMarcus Cousins Warrior campaign.
Oh, no, I'm
until
just saying
he's back.
Potentially. And plenty of teams. Like,
I know what you mean.
And just say, even if the Warriors, like you said, if you don't think they're going to make it to the finals, even if the Rockets make it to the finals, right?
Yeah.
You think he's not going to be able to handle guarding, like
Clint
the Rockets
Capella,
would kill them.
Right?
Clint Capella will kill him. And then if you put Jonas Valanciunas in there to try and, like, guard big men, you put him, like, they throw him the pick and roll, and he's done for, because James Harden coming off the pick and roll, one step back, they can't hedge that. It'll be big problems. I think what they need to do is they need to trade for a big man who can go in there, defend in space, shoot a little bit, space the floor, and rebound and protect the rim. Dwayne Dedman. From the Hawks. He's 28 years old. He's, for his career, he shoots 36% from three for his career, 47% from the field, not amazing for a big man, but this season, he's averaging 6 points and 6 rebounds in, like, not amazing minutes, right? So I would definitely say, like, he would be a really good option. He can defend in space. He's, like, this season he averages, how many minutes per game does he play right now?
Man. Dwayne Dedman, even if we got him, he wouldn't even be in our rotation.
Oh, yes, he would. He's better than, I'll put him, he can be on the floor at big points in the game. He's 7 feet tall, can hit the three ball, and, like, he's good. Like, he makes a three a game, right? And he shoots three. He shoots three, almost three threes a game, and he makes just over one a game on average. And that's something, you can live with that. And, like, from your five man, a 7-footer, and he's going to grab you, like, with the, right now, with the Hawks, he's averaging 24 minutes a game, and he's grabbing you 6 rebounds a game. Not bad, you know, like.
Yeah, well, you know, they did just add a little depth to their front court.
With
Pat McCaw.
He plays the two.
Yeah.
He's like 6'7". You play 2-3, like, but he's not, he's good. They added some more wing depth, definitely. But I just feel like the problem is two things that they could add. They need at least one of these things. They need another shooter, a consistent shooter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Kyle Korver would have been a good pickup for them, but they didn't have the pieces. That was just not an option. Or someone like Wayne Ellington on the Heat, like a player like that, and the buyout market might be pretty good this year. Need a big man like Dwayne Dedman or someone like that that can defend in space a little bit, contain ball handlers in the pick and roll, and rebound.
To me, it's not so much the big man that's the issue, it's just our shooting. So
I am in agreement that I think we need better three-point shooting, and I understand the pick-and-roll concerns and the big man, and you know, but I do think we're set on big man. I still think Jonas is a top big man in the league. So I think
he's good. He's had a really good year this year. He deserves credit for coming off the bench. He swallowed his pride and realized, you know, what we need to do for this team. And that's one thing I really like about Nick Nurse as a coach, is that he wasn't scared to say, you know what, we need to start Ibaka at the five. That's our best option. We have Siakam off the bench. Like, Siakam was on the bench, and now we can start him. Like, it was a good decision by Nick Nurse. Dwayne Casey would have been too scared to do something like that.
I don't know.
He didn't like messing with his rotation that much like that.
But to me, again, the big thing is, you know, the three-point shooting. And I like spot-up shooters. I like Kyle Korver type players. I like J.J. Redick. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone who I see them beyond the arc and they have the ball in their hand, and it makes me feel confident that they're going to shoot the ball. We don't have any guys like that. I mean, Kawhi, yeah, but when I think of him, you know, he's a mid-range player. He's more of a...
You know, he's not going to... Their best catch-and-shoot player is probably Danny Green or Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, and I would... I love Green. I thought that was a great move.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful addition.
I've never really loved Fred VanVleet. I think he's a good player, and he definitely played well while Kyle was out.
But people do really try and push that he could be a starting point guard in this league. No, he's not.
No way.
He can't handle the ball the whole game.
I'd take DeLon Wright over him.
DeLon Wright's probably a better defender. He's longer, taller.
Well, that's a thing, right? He's always going to be a liability on defense, and he's never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to be a driving force.
No.
DeLon...
They're both old, though. Like, DeLon's a little older. DeLon's 27 now.
Yeah. How old is VanVleet?
Like, 25, yeah. They're not young by... Neither of them are young by any means, but...
I mean, they're still young.
Like,
they're young. If you had a 27-year-old point guard, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, but it's not like he's going to get any better.
It's probably him going into his prime now.
What I'm saying is, like, he's not going to get any better.
Yeah. I agree. Man, there was something I wanted to say. About Pat McCall. Cleveland. Sign Pat McCall. And then release him. And go to sign Peyton.
Yes. It was weird. Apparently Pat McCall's agent and the Cavs had a little... they had a little agreement in there. Because he wanted to go to a team that wasn't like... He wanted a chance somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? But the Warriors were going to try and keep him. But once the Cavs offered him that contract, the Warriors didn't want to match it. It was too much money for them. And it was a non-guaranteed deal. So they just released him after. And the league is actually looking into the deal because they realize it's a little shady. So the Warriors are kind of mad because the Warriors kind of got stiffed out of a, you know.
Pat McCall. What I thought it was because if Cleveland signed him to this, offered him a bigger deal... And then Golden State couldn't match it. And since it was non-guaranteed, then they were like, okay, now you're not on Golden State, so you have the chance. We're going to release you and re-sign you on a veteran's minimum. That was my understanding of the whole thing. Maybe it's wrong. But that's what I thought they were doing. And so it was really shady. But now they're looking into it. And they said if they're in violation... They're going to lose their top draft pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Who, the Cavs?
Yeah.
Is that actually, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to, that would suck. I mean, tank for Zion. Who gets the pick?
Nobody. Cleveland's just out of the first round.
Or should the, what if the Warriors got the pick?
Don't even speak that. Don't manifest it. But, I think it's, it becomes, just, it's a voided pick. I don't think anyone gets it. Or maybe they get, like, a 30th pick or something.
Yeah, it's...
Bad scene, man. Don't do shady deals, especially when you're already tanking. Who do you need to add? But, all right. We got to end a little early.
Yeah, we got to end it up.
Because we have...
some ball meetings of our own to get to. Some
meetings to get to.
Thank you for tuning in. And tune in same time next week for N1 so you can hear all about the league and what's going on. I'm Sammy. This is Riley, and we're tuning off for the day. Enjoy the rest of yours.
Good day.